Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also in studio. As we address the issue of politics, and friends, we believe that the Word of God is sufficient to equip the man of God for every good work, which means if you are a Christian and you vote, if you are a Christian and you listen to the news, if you are a Christian and you interact with people in the world, you certainly need to know something of a basis upon which to maintain your opinions and to place that vote. Friends, it's important for us to know why we believe and what we believe. And so we come back to God's Word again and again as a means of interpreting what is going on around us and making wise decisions and interacting in these discussions in a right kind of way. We don't want to be stuck in the tertiary discussions. We want to go to fundamentals, and that's what we do again and again on this radio program. And what applies to the institutions, what applies to the world out there, certainly does apply to our own personal and private lives. So we don't want to just be pointing the finger at institutions and not applying the message to our own lives. As we address social sins, we want to be sure that we are coming back home to roost to ourselves and applying the truths of God's Word to our own lives as well. Today we want to take a look at the Supreme Court appointment of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court of the United States, which is about to happen. At least the vote in the Senate is about to happen, and we want to interact with this. Of course, appointments to the Supreme Court of the United States is the most politicized, most powerful governmental action in American governments today, and that's because the Supreme Court of the United States has become a tool of the left to radicalize American society, and that's happened since the 1960s and 1970s. The Warren Court, of course, very, very powerful in its influence upon almost every single American youngster because of the decisions made relating to the use of the scriptures and the use of the Bible in public schools. So, again, it was the left. It was the Warren Court. It is the left that uses the Supreme Court of the United States as the means by which American society is radicalized. And that's happened since the 1960s and 1970s. I think of Roe v. Wade in 1973 as well. So this effectively, Bill, is the motherlode of politics. And that's why the appointment to Supreme Court is going to be largely politicized. And it will be a battleground. And that's what we're seeing right now with the appointment of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the High Court. Anita Hill, you remember, was a single witness that alleged Clarence Thomas used bad language in 1991 as she attempted to prevent his appointment to the Supreme Court, was not successful. She was a single witness. I don't believe they introduced a second witness. The matter was not established by two or three witnesses. But Judge Kavanaugh's integrity, again, is being called into question by an accuser who says he tried to take advantage of her when he was 17 years old and she 15 years old at a drunken party. Evidently, they were reputedly participating in an excess use of alcohol, and there was some attempt to take advantage of her. So that's the testimony, and she apparently is holding back on bringing official testimony to the U.S. Senate under oath. But we'll see what will happen over the next week or two relating to this accusation and the appointment of Judge Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court.
It just doesn't pass the smell test on several levels. Now, I'm not saying that she does not believe what she's saying. She may have false memory. Many people do have false memories. She may have been attacked and she assigned it to Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
But that doesn't pass the smell test on several levels. Number one, she underwent a lie detector test, but that lie detector test occurred a long time ago, some time ago, several months ago, if I'm not mistaken. Why would she claim that she wanted to be anonymous and yet take a lie detector test if she wasn't going to come forward, if she wasn't going to make this a public issue? Why is it that she waited for 36 years? Mm-hmm. To make this accusation? Back in 2012, she said she told her therapist about it. Now, at that time, interestingly enough, around that same time, Brett Kavanaugh was up for the district court in which he now presides. Uh-huh. And confirmation hearings. And so it just doesn't smell right, because Senator Feinstein, withheld this information until not the 11th hour, but the 12th hour, but the 13th hour, after all the hearings and the testimony had been received. So this is just an odd situation. And now we have all of those who are on the left claiming that this woman should be believed and Kavanaugh should be removed from consideration.
So what should Christians think about this? We're going to refer to some of the Christian leaders across the country that are weighing in on the subject of whether this woman has any credibility or not. But I think biblical law is important, and I realize most people don't care about God's conception of justice, but there are some who want to make wise decisions relating to some of these political issues as it ties into the appointments to the highest courts in the land. So Deuteronomy 22:25 says, if a man finds a betrothed young woman in the countryside, a man forces her and lies with her, then only the man who lay with her shall die, but you shall do nothing to the young woman. There is in the young woman no sin deserving of death, for just as when a man rises against his neighbor and kills him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the countryside, the betrothed young woman cried out, but there was no one to save her. So here is the crime of forcibly laying with the young unmarried woman. If the attempt was thwarted, then there is certainly a sin involved, but no crime. In other words, there are attempts sometimes to take advantage, but the attempts to take advantage would constitute a sin, but no crime in the case of this Deuteronomy 22 reference. Also, this crying out 35 years later, Bill, during the most politically charged hearing in America, it's hard to see that as a legitimate crying out. And so,
correct,
you know, putting off the crying out for 35 years seems to be a ruse of some sort. Also, false witnesses are subjected to the death penalty in scriptures. So you need to be very, very careful before you accuse somebody of a capital crime, according to God's law. And by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every matter shall be established. And it could be two or three lines of evidence as well. So anyway, these are sort of the principles that we find in scripture. In both the Old and New Testament, by the way, we find various principles relating to the establishment of a crime or a charge against somebody else. Of course, we live in an era in which base rumor and anonymous phone calls and such can result in long investigations and the ruination of people's reputation. So that's the sort of situation we live in today. It's chaotic. It is a revolutionary culture. It's out of control. But we're going to stick with God's system of justice, God's way of establishing that which is right or that which is wrong. But friends, there is no other standard than God's law, God's word, and we must establish our concept of what is right and what is wrong by God's revelation. So I'd encourage those Christians that are listening to be careful in what you hear, be careful in your rush to judgment. Be sure you take into account first God's laws before you join in with the mob justice that so characterizes the media today. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we're back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack also in studio as we come back to the appointment of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court of the United States. And there have been a number of Christian leaders that have weighed in on this issue relating to the accusations against Judge Kavanaugh. And Franklin Graham, a well-known Christian evangelist, points out the conservative judge Brett Kavanaugh has a stellar reputation of excellence, integrity, character that is decades long. Now, at the 11th hour of his confirmation, a singular voice has risen, accusing him of an incident when he was a teenager in high school. Judge Kavanaugh has made it clear, I categorically and unequivocally deny this allegation. I did not do this back in high school or at any time. And so does a person who was also there at the time. But the accusation has shaken up the proceedings and gotten lots of media attention, which is just what Judge Kavanaugh's enemies on the liberal left had hoped for. Russell Moore, the Southern Baptist denomination, was a bit more guarded in his comments. He said, it is a confusing time and a very serious time. I think we need to look for a hearing and we need to attempt to find out the truth in this matter. Then there's Ralph Reed, Tony Perkins, both fairly pro-Judge Brett Kavanaugh in the discussion. Pastor Robert Jeffress from First Baptist Church in Dallas suggested that the Democrats are guilty of collusion in some way with Dr. Ford to derail a Supreme Court nomination. Quote, if the FBI is going to investigate something, says Jeffress, that is what they should investigate. So that's what he told, I think, Fox News a couple days ago. So Christian leaders weighing in on the issue. Bill, it's hard to really take a side on this until there is some adjudication of it. And if there's no adjudication, if there's no hearing, either in the political courts or maybe the church courts, then it's hard for the rest of us Monday morning quarterbacks to take a position on this sort of thing. And I think also innocent until proven guilty is generally a better way to go. We as Christians should probably not judge something until it has been judged, until two or three witnesses have come forward and said, this man lacks in integrity because he is like to break the seventh commandment this way or that way. So it seems to me that we should assume innocence until there is some proof of guiltiness. And we need to be careful not to join into this rush to mob justice, where if you get one anonymous phone call or you have one anonymous accusation or even a single accusation without any corroborating evidence, it seems to me that we need to be cautious in taking sides or pointing the finger.
Well, I think we need to be bold in taking the side of, unless there are corroborating witnesses, then you presume innocence. But that is not the case. It is just the accusation that has now sullied the reputation and brought great harm to this man's family. And the woman has been victimized, the accuser has been victimized by those who leaked her name to the press when she requested anonymity. She has been thrust into the public spotlight because she requested initially confidentiality, and now it's been leaked, and now she has been abused by those who have a political agenda as well.
And of course, the reason is for the political agenda's purposes that there are people out there that are looking for every single thread of evidence against this man to prevent an appointment to Supreme Court, to sway public opinion one way or the other. And public opinion today is fairly fluid on the issue of relating to the Me Too movement.
Right.
All right. So, friends, remember, though, that 95% of Americans confess to premarital sex. We live in a nation in which there are many sexual sins going on. There are many drunken parties and revelings happening around us, and especially amongst those that were involved in student politics. I can remember there were constant parties going on. There was almost constant drunkenness and sexual orgies happening in the college scene back in the 1980s. And I remember attending a party one time out of 6 years of my involvement in the college scene. And I attended one party, and sure enough, you know, there's this drunkenness, there's this lack of self-restraint. There's this this tendency towards excess, towards sexual sin, towards drunkenness, even, I think, drugs involved at points. So I can remember attending this one party, Bill, in probably 1984, something like that. And I sat in the corner and spoke with another Christian for about an hour and then left the party because it just wasn't going in a good direction, I could tell almost immediately. So these parties, I would say, are fairly common for high schoolers and college kids. And it wouldn't surprise me that Republican and Democrat leaders amongst some of these college groups are participating in this sort of thing. It would not surprise me. They're involved in drunkenness and sins relating to the breaking of the seventh commandment. There's no indication that Judge Kavanaugh is a born-again Christian. He's the sixth, or will be the sixth, Catholic on the Supreme Court, along with three liberal Jews. So, friends, Clarence Thomas, Brett Kavanaugh, John Roberts, Samuel Alito, Sonia Sotomayor, not professing born-again Christians. And so, well, I think we need to remember that.
One of the most concerning things during the hearings themselves was, I believe it was Orrin Hatch asked Brett Kavanaugh if his deeply religious held faith would inform his decision making, and his answer was adamantly no. He said, "I hold to the Constitution first."
And that's because
as a judge, and that's more troubling to me than all of the all of this brouhaha around this one accusation.
Yeah, and I think these Roman Catholics are typically raised with a worldly mindset. Their Catholic religion does not really affect their worldview and their lifestyle. They don't begin with a biblical worldview and a biblical concept of God as the source of law, and their ethics therefore become fairly random, evolutionary, developing with social mores and social standards developing around them. Sometimes they tie into traditions and their university training, but they don't tie into God's law at any point because their worldview is not set by a distinctively biblical worldview and a biblical view of ethics. But for Christians, for those of us who receive Christ, we need to realize that we have a new principle within us, and we are those who are inclined towards the laws of God. We are those who keep the faith of Christ and the commandments of God in these last days. 1 Peter 4 and verse 4 also weighs in on this, and it says, "Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." So these drunken parties, something that has happened amongst the Gentile nations for thousands upon thousands of years. This is the same thing that Christians faced in the first century. And Christians are warned not to participate in this sort of thing. You know, these drunken parties are such that the modern world has turned into one big sexual orgy. It's hard to know what the rules are anymore. It's like crying foul in a bar fight. You know, what are the rules in the bar fight? Are there any rules left? And that's where I think the modern world has come to. These drunken orgies, these drunken parties are just so out of control that there are no rules, no objective rules, no absolute rules that govern these parties anymore. So the college party scene is a real problem, but Christians ought not to participate in this sort of thing. 45% of teens drink monthly, 40% of teens use hard drugs, 52% of Hispanic teens, 49% of teens now use marijuana. I don't know if you knew that, Bill. Almost half of teens today are using marijuana. It's a little bit higher for college kids as well. The number one reason why young people use drugs, believe it or not, is they begin to run with the wrong crowd. It's interesting. That becomes one of the most important reasons why they participate in this. But it's also they want to escape. They want to escape the real world. They want to relieve their stress, their anxiety, their fear, their pain, their anger, and they do so through the use of drugs and the excessive use of alcohol as well. So these are the sorts of things that Christians are to avoid. Why? Because we have a new principle that is within us. As we read in Ephesians chapter 4, we have not so learned Christ. We receive Christ, and we live then a life of gratitude and godliness before God and we live a life of restraint towards matters of the flesh. We become more content with our own situation. We don't lust after other women. We don't need to seek after getting drunk and to escape our world, because we live with an eternal hope, a hope in eternal heaven, an eternal reward. We realize that this world is not going to be the most comfortable world. We're going to be dealing with stress and difficulty. We're going to be dealing with opposition and challenges, and we're going to be working our way through trials and tribulations. But as Christians, we have an eternal hope, and that eternal hope that burns deep within us does not press us towards availing ourselves to these escapistic approaches, and that is excessive use of alcohol, drugs, and so forth. So as Christians, we are called out from among them. We're called to be different. And so I guess my encouragement, especially to those young people who are in the college scene today, Bill, would be to live separately and not to give way to the same principles that are so common amongst the average college group. Let's not give way towards the sinful tendencies of those around us. So again, we're not pointing fingers at any particular person, but we are saying that as Christians, we don't need to participate in these drunken parties and these drunken orgies.
Yeah. And it's very difficult for people to withstand peer pressure. And so it's very difficult to do on your own. So you need to find somebody that you can be accountable to.
Sure.
You mm-hmm. need to find somebody who is a brother or sister in Christ that you can withstand the onslaught of peer pressure
yeah.
with. So.
And as I said, peer pressure is probably the number one most powerful influence upon teens to participate in excessive use of alcohol and a use of hallucinogenic drugs. And so, again, as Christians, let's seek out a regular accountability. Hebrews 3:13 says to exhort one another daily, so long as it's called today. And don't participate in an anonymous situation where you don't have that accountability. Avoid those flop houses where you're living with young men or young women that have no spiritual interest in your own life, let alone a spiritual interest in their own life. Let's be sure that we live a life of accountability before God, and we want to open ourselves up to a regular daily exhortation from a brother or sister in Christ who cares about our spiritual well-being. So, friends, this is how the Christian lives his life. This is how the Christian lives her life. And let's be sure that we're not giving way to a worldly way of life in which we are giving out towards these sins of drunkenness or sexual sin. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast as we address a political issue, but make personal individual application to this particular problem. I hope this has been helpful to you as we come back to a biblical principle of living our lives in a holy way according to the principles of God's Word. Friends, you've been listening to the Generations Radio Broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.